We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
So in high school, I read a book that changed my life. It was a book that was written in 1931 by a man named Aldous Huxley, called A Brave New World. Anybody read the book, Brave New World? Man, there's a lot of people who don't read in this church. Really? There we go. Did it do anything to you, Sam? Or did you just have to read it? Did you like it? Yeah. He's remarkable, isn't he? I mean, this guy in 1931 imagined what society would look like now. I mean, he looked that far and he had this image of what this would be. And really, in many ways, he nailed it. He said, for example, that we won't be able to tell what the truth is because it will be drowned in a sea of irrelevant information. Anyone getting tired of all the irrelevant information that we have and we don't know what to do with, we don't know what's true, what's not true, thus the joke, if it's on the internet, it has to be true. Of course, it's on the internet. And then he said that we are going to be so busy chasing down things that don't matter that we would never do meaningful things. And when he said things like Facebook and Twitter and surfing the web and those things, because we have so, that just don't matter. But perhaps the most brilliant thing Huxley said was that you and I, humanity, has almost infinite appetite for distraction. So let me get personal. How is your appetite for distraction? How easily are you distracted? And are there things that you could be getting done if you weren't so distracted? Right? Now, this morning we're going to look at a text. We're going to look at a passage in Luke as we continue the One Thing series. We're going to look at this passage, and it is about two sisters. And the problem is, some of us have heard this text so many times that we have become almost numb to the meaning of it. And then some of us have heard it, I think, preached wrongly so many times that we miss the beauty and the challenge that Luke wants us to get right in the middle of this passage. So if you have your Bibles, open them to Luke chapter 10, verse 38. And I'm preaching this, and I tell you guys this often. Most of the sermons I preach because I need to hear them, maybe more than you need to hear them. And so maybe for you, this isn't for you. Maybe this sermon has nothing to do with you. But at this point in my life where I am right now, I've begun to realize that living a distracted life is costing me more than it's worth. So as we get ready to look at this little text, there's one bit of background information I have to tell you. If you were to go back to Luke chapter 9, Luke tells us that Jesus puts his face towards Jerusalem. And what Luke means is that Jesus is heading to the cross. And for Luke, in the timetable of Luke, it's just a matter of months between this event and the cross. Okay? So time is of the essence. There's a sense of urgency for Luke And so here's what he writes. This is, now, as they, and they, meaning Jesus and at least the 12 disciples, went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. The village, so you know, is Bethany, just in case you're curious. And this is a place Jesus often stayed, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus' house. Lazarus isn't there today. We don't know where he is. He's not there. And she had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is only one thing that is necessary. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. Now, I just want to start with this. This is a story about two sisters who Jesus loved, both of them. And he loved them both equally. He did not love Mary more than Martha. This is not a sermon that's going to bash Martha. I have heard the bashing of Martha's sermon, and it is not pretty, and it is wrong. I have heard preachers say, well, Martha was just evil because she was so busy, and Mary, she was a saint because she sat at the feet of Jesus. I have heard church members say, well, I'm much more of a Mary than I am a Martha. Really, they're just lazy, is what it is. And I just refuse to, because let's be honest, without the Marthas of this world, without the people who make sure things get done, we would be in trouble. And may I have an amen from all the Marthas who get bashed all the time. This is not a Martha bashing sermon. It is, however, a sermon about Martha who had a bad day that day. She had a bad day. And you can't really blame her. I mean, you got to remember, first century, no cell phones, no texting, no email, no Evite. Jesus and these 12 stinky, sweaty guys just show up. Jesus did not text Martha and Mary, say, hey, we're 3 blocks away, get the house ready. There was none of that. There was a knock on the door. Jesus, 12 guys walking, God knows how many miles, show up. And Martha did what Martha did, because that's what was expected. In the first century, a core value of first century Middle Eastern culture was hospitality. And when guests showed up, unannounced or announced, you darn well better feed them and treat them like family. So Martha was just doing what Martha was supposed to do. But you have to remember, for Jesus, there was a sense of urgency, and time was of the essence. And I am sure that Jesus would have loved to have a great meal, but I got to believe what he really wanted was simply to spend time with his friends. He knew the end was near. So Mary sits down, Martha goes into the Martha Stewart mode. And you got to picture this, right? They're in the living room, and Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus is teaching, and Mary is like, oh, tell me that parable again. Oh, I love that one. And they're just having a grand time. Martha is over in the kitchen, and you got to remember, it's not a big house, right? So she heard everything going on, and she's, well, let's just say, she's stirring the lamb stew that is on the stove. And she's stirring, and she's listening, and she's just stirring the stew. And the more she stirs, the more stewed she gets. Thank you. 8 o'clock people didn't chuckle, and I busted out laughing. Right? It took me a week to come up with that. And she's just getting madder and madder and frustrated. And you know that she has now lost her mind, because the next thing she does, according to Luke's gospel, I am not making this up, she runs into the living room where Jesus and the other folks are, and what does she do? Who does she go to? She goes to Jesus, right? And she says, Lord, don't you care? Side note. If you choose to take a swing at Jesus and to go off on Jesus, you are in big trouble. You know your life is messed up. I mean, this is the creator of the universe. And she runs to him and she says, Lord, don't you care? She forgot who she was talking to. I mean, this is a guy who, according to Paul, emptied himself, gave up the glories of heaven to come to this broken world so that we could experience grace. He gave it all up, and she had the audacity to ask, Lord, don't you care? I mean, she's lost it. And how did he respond? He didn't try to embarrass her like Martha was trying to do to Mary. He didn't lecture her. He didn't say, like my mom would have, do you know who you're talking to? And then the wooden spoon. None of that. He simply looked at her and said, Martha. Martha. Now, what you may not know, that's not like when your mom calls you by your whole name. In Scripture, whenever the name is mentioned twice, it is one of the most intimate phrases you can ever say to anybody. Remember when Moses encountered the burning bush and God spoke to him, and the bush said, God said, Moses, Moses. Remember King David, and was heartbroken over the loss of his son, and he cried out, Absalom, Absalom. And what about when Jesus was on the cross? My God, my God. So Jesus looks at Martha, and in the most loving, intimate way of addressing her, simply says, Martha, Martha, you missed it. Now, I thought about this story a lot when I decided to do this series. And I wonder if what Jesus really wanted was to spend time with Martha and not just Mary. I wonder if what Jesus really wanted was to be able to share some things that were important to him with his friend Martha and not just Mary. And if he really wanted to hear what was on Mary, on Martha's heart, so that they could spend this time together. Because time was of the essence, and only Mary was in the room. Martha. Martha. Now, I think I'm hearing that a lot lately these days. Marty. Marty, it's not your work that's your problem. It's your worry. I think I hear God telling me, it's not the stress or the pressure that you're under. It's how you're handling it. It's not the ministry or the church, Marty. It's that sometimes you let things become a distraction and forget what matters most. You see, I have to remind myself that I am called to do something. And I think it's important to do what we're called to do. But it's not as important as how we do it. You are called to do something. And what you do is important, but it's not as important as how you do it. And I think the how we do it is a pretty good indication of the condition of our heart. There's this book called Simplify. And I recommend it to anyone who wants to read. It's written by Bill Hybels, former pastor of Willow Creek Community Church outside of Chicago. And it is a phenomenal book. And in the book, Hybels uses the image of a bucket. And what he says is every one of us has a bucket, right? And for us, the bucket is our heart or our soul. That's what we're going to do. And what we have, we all have a bucket. We all have a heart, soul. And there are certain things that replenish our bucket, that fill us up. For me, it's spending time with Jill, the boys, my friends. It's watching a good movie. It's even work sometimes. It's exercise. It's reading a good book. There are all sorts of things that fill my soul and my heart, and I feel refreshed and renewed and re-energized, right? But here's the reality. There are also things every day that, well, that I have to pour myself into. And some of the things that I pour myself into, they're really good things. They're things that I like preparing sermons and preaching and visiting the hospitals, those things. And then there's things I pour myself into that I really, I just don't like at all. Trustees meetings, finance meetings, things like that. And then, believe it or not, there's people I pour myself into that I just love doing that. And then there's others, well, don't point to anyone, but it may be your family or your kids or your friends. I don't know for you. I'm not suggesting that the person next to you drains you. You take it for what it's worth. But there are times like now where I feel like that I'm just keep pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring, and my bucket, well, it looks like that. So the question that I want to, Gary, just a little water, it'll dry, I promise. I know, trustees, people. The question is, seriously, how empty is your bucket right now? Now, we're going to try something. I don't know if it's working open skies because they're doing it now. But you see all this water here? There's like four stations, I think. And I want you to, in a minute, I want you to go get a water. It's filled. It's a cup. It's a little Dixie cup. It's full. Don't drink it. Don't crush it. Okay, just get it. And there's not going to be music playing because this isn't a quiet time. This isn't communion. In fact, what I want you to do, I want you to talk to one another. As you're sitting there, when you get up, talk to each other in line. If there's someone who doesn't have anybody to talk to, be nice. Hospitality is a value. Go talk to that person and bring him into your conversation. But here's the thing. Here's the questions I want you to talk about. Here's your homework. Okay? So you're not talking about the games today or whatever. This is an important question. How do you know when your bucket is getting empty? You know, maybe for you, you overdrink, you overeat, you go on Facebook too much, whatever. I don't know what it is for you. Then, how do you know when your bucket is getting full? And then the third question is, what is it that replenishes you? So, go ahead. That's your cue. Talk. Don't be quiet. It should be a lot of noise. It should be a little chaotic. Just get up, get some water, make sure you talk to someone as you do it. Go ahead, that's your cue. Talk, talk, talk. Don't drink the water. Don't drink it. on. How do you know when your bucket's getting full? How do you know when your bucket's getting empty? And what is it that replenishes you? You should have water. Everybody should have conversation. Keep it going for a minute. Are we on Facebook right now? So if you're at home on Facebook, just go get some water, bring it back to your couch. You can text us in, and we'll answer your questions then. Start bringing it back. Get your water and start bringing it back, because I don't want to get in trouble. Start bringing it back. Does anybody have water? Don't drink it. And start wrapping up your conversations. You can talk more later. Go ahead in the back. Have a seat. Hey, Chuck. Go ahead. Hey, Andrew. How you doing, man? I'm going to test you right now. Go ahead. Have a seat. Okay, so we all have things. Someone just don't all at once, but what is it? What were some of the things that you know when your bucket's getting empty? Tired, irritable. There's some people, their bucket's always empty. Irritable, what else? Huh? You don't sleep well. You don't sleep well, you're tired. But, and that's the worst part, right? You're tired and you don't sleep well because you just wear out, right? And you get irritable. What else? Anybody shop too much? Spend too much money? Drink too much? Do drugs illegally? How do you know when your bucket's getting full? Huh? You pour out? How do you know when it's getting full? I had someone tell me at 8 o'clock, I think Matt did, someone told us they get joyful. I actually get good rest because I'm more like you. I finally get good rest, and I'm at peace. And I told Matt, it's like Christmas was, the last 2 years were brutal, right? 7 services on Christmas Eve, and then last year, this past year on Monday, 4, and then 3 the day before. And I should have been just worn out after church, after that midnight thing. But I was so tired, but I was also at peace because I got so filled up in those worship services. So it is, it's that. And what is it that replenishes you? I'm curious. What replenishes you? Cindy, what replenishes you? Refocus? Reading? Recognizing the good things in life? Huh? Practicing your faith, communion, good things. Good quiet time, good things. Here's what Luke says. Jesus turns to Martha and says, Martha, Martha, only one thing is necessary. The only thing you have to do to replenish your soul, the critical thing you have to do to replenish your soul, exercise and family and communion and all, that's all great stuff, but the thing that is necessary, according to Jesus, was what Mary was doing. Just being in the presence of God. That's it. Now, Bill Hybels in his book calls that encounter between Mary and Jesus, and I love this, he calls it an exchange of love, because it's something I never thought of before. Get this. Mary was enjoying every moment that she sat in the presence of Jesus, just soaking Jesus up. Maybe Jesus was enjoying every moment that he was with Mary, just soaking her up. I mean, what would it do if you thought that when you take time to be in the presence of God, God was enjoying it as much as you were enjoying it? What would it do if I told you that is how God replenishes? By spending time with you. The exchange of love. And what I've discovered is a cup of water, if you're thirsty, it can satisfy your thirst. And some of you are thirsty right now. You've been preaching three services. You've drank Mountain Dew or coffee. You're a little dehydrated. The fact that you're holding water in your hand is the mere suggestion of it is making you thirsty, right? Anyone? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to drink it, but don't do shots with it. Okay? Just sip. And when you sip it, I want you to feel it. The coolness, the refreshment, right? And then as you do that, I'm going to read some scriptures about thirst. Because in the Bible, thirst is a metaphor for spiritual longing. So go ahead, have a sip, toast, whatever you do. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul thirsts for God, the living God. And then Jesus said, for any that is thirsty, come to me and I will give you drink. There's only one thing. It begins when you ask Jesus to enter into your life. But it's more than that. Because let's just be honest. Can't be just a one-time thing. Because every day you're pouring yourself out. And if you don't take time to replenish your soul, things are going to fall apart. When we forget that the meal we are preparing isn't as important as the one we're preparing it for, we fall apart. When we forget that the point we're trying to make isn't as important as the person we're trying to make the point to, we fall apart. Because it's not just what we do, it's how we do it. So I thought about, what do we do about that? So here's what I decided. If Mary was doing the one thing that is necessary, right? Why can't we do the one thing that is necessary? So I've got a challenge for you, because I like challenges, and I need other people to be doing things with me. So what I want to do, I want to make a 30-day challenge. 30 days. That for 30 days, we spend 10 minutes with Jesus. 10 minutes with God. 30 days, 10 minutes with God. Intentionally, 10 minutes with God. Right? Now, some of you are like going, 10 minutes? I spend like 4 hours. This is 10 minutes. Fine. You're better than us. 10 minutes. And I thought, what could we do? Because we got to have something to do in those 10 minutes, right? Because if you're like me, you're ADD. You're just sitting there. You're going to be like all over the place. Right? So I thought, well, 30 days, and lo and behold, there's this book in the Bible called Proverbs that has, get this, 30 chapters. Oh, what a coincidence. One chapter a day, 30 days. And as I was telling Barbara, the thing I love about Proverbs is you can't use the excuse that you don't know the original language, because it doesn't matter. You don't have to know the history. You don't have to know who wrote it. All you have to do is read it in any version of the Bible you want, because you're going to get something out of it. And then when you finish reading a proverb a day, here's what you do. Spend some time in prayer. And when I say prayer, I've heard some people pray, and they change their language, their voice. Right? I had a friend who was a preacher, and whenever he prayed, he never said, if I was talking to him, he would say God. But when he prayed, God all of a sudden had four syllables. God just wants conversation. Just invite God to be part of your life and to be with you. That's it. And if no, just be you. And then I thought, accountability. And what I need is reminder, right? Because I get distracted, right? So here's what I want you to do. Take out your cell phones. Whip out your cell phones. And here's, if you're going to do part of the challenge, this is what I want you to do, is text the word Proverbs to that number, 281-907-9070. And if you do it correctly, you should get a message back saying, hey, you joined the group or whatever it says. I can't remember. And then every morning, you'll get a reminder, and it won't be early. So if you do early, like, but I don't want to do too early because I don't want to wake you up. So about 8 o'clock every morning, you're going to get a reminder what proverb you're to read and maybe something else to help you with your 10 minutes. You know, we're just working on that. But starting tomorrow, right, 281-907-9070, Proverbs with a capital P. If you don't get a message, find a kid, a five-year-old next to you. They'll show you how to do it. Richard's teaching people in fellowship hall, which should be interesting. So if you have a problem, see us afterwards and we'll help you. But I think about this, and I thought, can you imagine what would happen to your attitude, to your heart, to your patience, to your spirit, to your energy, if you just did the one thing that is necessary? I think we'd have a revolution of grace. Jesus said to Martha, 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 one thing is necessary. Your ringtones are cracking me up. Let us pray. God, we say thank you for today. We thank you for the love and the grace that you've given us. We pray, Father, as we leave this place, we leave as a people who have been to the mountaintop, people who have tasted you and experienced you, so that when we leave this place, all will know of your love and grace. We ask all this in your Son's name. Amen. So if you'll hold hands with someone who is near you and grab a hand of someone who is near you and with me and receive this benediction. And now may the Lord bless you, may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, give you peace both now and forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, go from this place. And may the peace and the love and the grace of God go with you. May you know, may you remember, may you never forget that there is nothing you can do, nothing, nothing, that will ever make God love you less. Because when God sees us, he doesn't see the mistakes that we make. He simply says, wow, you're nothing but. And can you imagine for a moment what your day would be like if you lived it believing that? You'd have a pretty good day. Take care. God bless. And we'll see you next week.